Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Will Nitza, who's the founder of IQBAR. Will, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So I love, I kind of say this when I first start off, I don't research the companies or the guest, and I kind of want to go with the flow. But when I hear a company name or I hear, you know, kind of their title, I always like to go, ooh, that makes me think of, and IQBAR, that kind of says it all. So I'm excited to hear from you on what your product is and your solution to the world that you discovered, but get us a little bit of a background on you. What's your story and your entrepreneurial journey to this point in your career?
Sure. Yeah. So I live in Boston. I went to college here. I took my first job out of college here in software. I was selling B2B SaaS operations and supply chain solutions to energy companies, predominantly oil and gas companies. So I was flying back and forth to Houston a ton. Didn't like it. Wasn't passionate about software or oil and gas. Became obsessed with nutrition at that time in my life for personal reasons. And then that got me into, I also always wanted to start my own thing and wanted to be able to own from tip to tail the creation of that thing. Which I could do in consumer goods. So all of that sort of rolled up into this scenario where I wanted to start a brain food company. So I've been doing that, started that in my apartment in Boston in 2018, been a roller coaster ride ever since. And that's a little bit of background on me.
So that's, when you think about, you know, I want to start a brain food or brain bar company, that's pretty specific. What was it that made you recognize that you wanted to do that? Because this has become like a crusade or a mission, you know, not just I make widgets and I want to sell them at a profit.
Yeah. So I got really into the brain, how it functions, how it fails, how to optimize it. And even at down to the physiological level in college. So I studied psychology and then I took a bunch of neuroscience classes. And so just was fascinated with the brain. And I was also really interested in business and startups in particular. And so I couldn't really figure out a way to work in the intersection of those two things, but I just knew I was really interested in the brain. And so I took the job in software sort of by default. But all the while in my free time, I would read up on psychology related books and studies and things like that. And coincidentally, I started having failings in my own brain because I was getting headaches and had mental fog on a daily basis and felt lethargic and all that. And so, like I said, I got really into nutrition. Why I got into nutrition was those reasons. It was as a means to resolve feeling like crap every day. And then so anyway, all of that just sort of like aggregated, and it didn't hurt that I was not a fan of my job. It's always good to have an impetus of what you don't want to do. Or if I do this thing, I can shift into something I'm more passionate about. So it was kind of like 5, 6, 7 forces all hitting me at once. But it really came down to a personal interest and personal experience.
So why choose a bar? Why not powder or pills? If your formulation does what it does, why not, just do a different, you know, medium? Why was the bar attractive to you?
Yeah, I don't like pills, and I don't think anyone likes pills. So it's just not, I would rather do something I like and that other people like. I think, you know, supplements are a thing and people take them and all that. I just, to me, it's less interesting and inspiring, and it's less like relatable and enjoyable. If you,
yeah,
sampling pills isn't really a thing, you know, whereas like you can see yourself at a table at a Whole Foods handing out a bar. So I just like the concept of eating nutrition more than purely consuming it, and food as medicine or food as functional nutrition. Why a bar? I mean, there was a whole series of criteria. You know, I wanted to play in a space that was really big, even if it was really competitive. So, you know, multi-billion-dollar market. And my goal was, I don't want to have to generate or manufacture demand. I just want to outperform others to seize pre-existing demand. So the bar market is a huge market in food and beverage. And then
I was thinking about your reasoning with the bar and the pills. It's almost like having an experience. You know, like if you take a pill, it's like down and gone, whereas you're actually touching a bar, you're actually seeing it, you're actually chewing it, you're smelling it. So I think that's a factor, you know, the experience economy kind of a approach as well.
Oh, totally. And it is an experience. And there's a flavor to it, and the flavor reminds you of some other thing you ate at some, yeah, it's an experience. It's a good way of putting it. So yeah, where was I going before that? what was the question you asked right before that?
Oh, kind of, you know, why you chose the bar over pills and.
Oh
and,
yeah. So a bar, so huge market, right? But also, you know, that let's say you, I'll tell you exactly how I created the product. So I looked at what are the compounds that have a wealth of research showing they're good for your brain. And so let's say it's like omega-3s, flavonoids, medium chain triglycerides. There's a whole list. And then here's all the research that showed that it's good for you. You know, if, you know, a cohort of people who consume this saw these results. And then I looked at, okay, what are the whole food ingredients that are richest in those? So like for vitamin E, that would be something like almonds, sunflower seeds, et cetera. For flavonoids, that would be cacao, chocolate, matcha, blueberries in the fruit category, et cetera. So just cataloging like all of that. And then looking at it and saying, okay, can I make a product out of this? And what product would that be? There's not that many products where you mash a bunch of stuff up together and like that's the product. A bar is one of them. You know, you can't really make a brain food chip, for example. It's just a chip, you know, it's made some flour and some oil and whatever. So it's just, there's just not that many form factors. So big market, check. Does this make sense if I want to mash all this stuff up together? Check. And yeah, that's kind of as simple as that.
And at this point, you're what, 5 years in approximately, and you've made a buck or two. So you've seen velocity and momentum and definitely proof of concept times 1,000. So looking back at just even the short period of time, what were some of the, you know, hurdles that you experienced that you didn't expect? And then how did you get past that to get to this point? And then, of course, obviously you're looking to the next pinnacle, the next, summit, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's infinite hurdles. There's personal hurdles, right? If you look at it from a first principle standpoint, like you have to get your personal life in order to withstand what's going to happen to you professionally if you embark on an entrepreneurial journey. For me, the timing was good. You know, I was 25. I didn't have kids, didn't have dependents, wasn't paying down a boatload of debt. You know, had really low, I lived an inexpensive lifestyle. Like the timing was great. So I could withstand, I was confident I could work an insane number of hours and, you know, make a bunch of sacrifices requisite sacrifices. So, but even with all that, many of the challenges are just avoiding burnout, you know, personally, but more specific to the business, you know, making stuff's hard. Stuff going wrong isn't an if, it's a when and how.
Yep.
And a lot of stuff is out of your control. You know, you have partners that makes the thing you want to make, and you have other partners that fulfill it and put it in a box and send it out. Then you have other partners who put it on shelves, and you know, the ecosystem of variables is so wide and vast that stuff just is going to go wrong, and is going to go wrong fairly frequently. And so, it's just sort of like, what's, it's like your job is just to put out fires constantly and keep the machine moving forward. That could be anything from, I mean, we had a wrappers not seal on a 200,000 bar order with CVS, and we had to find a new wrapper supplier in a week's time. Like, that's one flavor of challenge. Then there's like the higher level flavor of challenge, which is like, how do you build a team? You don't have a lot of money. How do you build a team with not that much money and motivate the team? And then when you double and then double again, well, is that team the right team for your business now that it's four times bigger than it was when you started? No, often. Sometimes yes, often no. So the team hiring, motivating, retaining, the human element of startups to me is the hardest of all challenges. I could go on.
Because it or not, it takes infrastructure, team, thought leaderships. And team isn't just the people, you know, turning the nuts and bolts on the assembly line, so to speak, or, you know, putting the, you know, packaging on the boxes. The team should be your brain trust and people going, where are we going to go next? And yeah, the team might be great at this level, but once you double now, is that the right team for? Can they handle that increase? And if not, how can I quickly find people to then fold into my current team to come with us, help us go to the next level? So are you guys in manufacturing here in the U.S.?
Yes, we manufacture in the Midwest.
That's really good, because you only hear like on the Shark Tanks, you know, like, oh, hey, we want to save a buck or two and let's go to wherever overseas to manufacture. But then now there could be supply chain issues. So you probably have avoided some supply chain issues by manufacturing in the U.S.
Yes, although we there's certain ingredients that just like are imported, like pea protein, for example. Peas are not really grown all that much in the U.S. or grown in Canada. So there are just certain inputs where you're just, and you know, you have so many. I mean, the last couple of years has been one of the most challenging supply chain environments of the last 100 years because of COVID and then labor shortages and then yada, 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 you know, the Ukraine war. It's been wild.
Yeah.
And so even stuff you're sourcing domestically is incredibly tough because we still import so many variables, even stuff that's made here. Let's say wrappers are still importing elements themselves. So your suppliers have suppliers.
Yeah.
So your suppliers have supply chains too. Like the supply chain is so vast. When you really go down to like the raw elements going into anything. So it's a lot to manage. We've gotten a lot better at it. We've learned the hard way in many cases, but
when you said your suppliers have suppliers, it made me think of something that I literally read in a book last night, and then it was reiterated in an email on a influencer that I follow in marketing, talking about, don't mention features and benefits, talk about the benefits. Yeah, we get that, but talk about the benefit of the benefits, and it kind of like goes deeper. So let's kind of use that as the test. So what's the benefit of the IQ bar / brain food? Yeah, I want to hear that, but what's the benefit of that? What are your users ultimately want that they're now seeing and getting in your bar?
I mean, I think there's two sides of the coin. So it's maybe a little bit counterintuitive, but a lot of the battle is avoiding things, eliminating bad things versus advancing good things. So for example, the standard American diet, you know, most people eat a lot of carbs and empty carbs, which turn into blood sugar, which spikes your, you know, causes you to gain weight, which isn't healthy for a variety of reasons, but also just in the short term spikes your blood sugar and then your blood sugar plummets and then you crash. And that's why you feel so lethargic at 2 p.m. So by creating something that's filling and is, you know, hits that snack or breakfast occasion and avoiding that crash, because you eliminate or exclude, let's say, high glycemic carbs, meaning like not fibrous carbs, that's half the battle. The other half of the battle is putting forth things that are good. So including in that serving omega-3s and flavonoids and all these things that are anti-inflammatory. They literally, some literally help you grow new neurons, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of two sides of that coin. And you know, you really notice the difference. But if you eat a pizza, you will feel terrible in 2 hours. And if you eat a bar, you won't. So oftentimes the elimination piece is the most powerful.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. People want to go away from certain things and run toward certain things. And your bar provides a little bit of both.
Totally. Totally.
Neat. Well, I tell you, you've really covered a whole lot of ground here on why you started, your mission, your crusade, what your business accomplishes that, and kind of some of the counterintuitive things. If someone is interested in learning more about your ingredients and how it can help them feel better and pick up some of your bars, what's the best way they can learn more and then buy a box?
Yeah, eatiqbar.com, EATIQBAR.com is our website. And then we're on Amazon. We're pretty big on Amazon. If you're interested in getting a box, please leave a review. We're in about 8,000 stores. You can find a store near you on our website. We're in Walmart, Kroger, Wegmans, Sprouts, etc. What else? At EatIQBar is our social handle on all social medias. But yeah, website, I think, is probably the best spot to learn more.
Awesome. Well, Will, thank you so much for coming on today. It was a real pleasure talking with you.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.